All right, on page 5-2 of your notes, you'll find your outline for the DVD video teaching, and we're going to get ready, and we are going to watch this week's segment.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Session 5 of 40 Days in the Word. I'm so proud of you and your commitment to learning and studying the Word of God. We want you to learn to love it and to learn it and then to live it. Now, I hope your daily devotions are getting stronger every week. If you've started practicing these devotional methods that we're calling the 6 methods of meditation that I've been teaching you. Now, before we get to our next 2 methods of meditation, let me just take a few minutes to talk to you about the benefits of memorizing Scripture and give you some tips on how to get started in developing that habit. One of the most powerful things you can do for your spiritual life is to learn to memorize Scripture. This is what's known as hiding God's Word in your heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 7, "Guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and also keep them deep within your heart." Now, I'm sure some of you are saying, "Oh, man, I can't memorize Scripture. I can't memorize anything. I've got a memory like a steel sieve. Everything just goes right through it. I can't even remember my own name or, you know." Well, let me tell you what. You can. You can memorize what you're interested in memorizing. You memorize the Pledge of Allegiance. Many of you have memorized the Lord's Prayer. You memorize the things that are important to you. Phone numbers. You've memorized song lyrics. You've memorized recipes. You memorized baseball stats. You can memorize just about anything if you put your mind to it. And it's important enough to you, or valuable to you. It's a matter of motivation, not really skill. David wrote in Psalm 119, "The law you gave me means more to me than all the money in the world." That's how important the Bible was to David. Now, when you understand how important and how valuable God's Word is, then you're going to get serious about memorizing significant portions of it and hiding it in your heart and in your head. Why should you do this? Why should you memorize God's Word? Let me give you some of the benefits of memorizing Scripture. In the first place, memorizing Scripture is the number one tool for resisting temptation. I mentioned earlier in another session, when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4, his only defense against this attack was the Word of God. Now figure this, he is the Son of God himself. Satan attacks him 3 times, and 3 times he resists the temptation. How? By quoting the Bible. He says, "It's written," and he quotes a verse. "It's written," and he quotes a verse. "It's written," and he quotes a verse. All 3 times from memory. Now, if Jesus knew a better way to fight temptation, believe me, he would have used it. So we have to follow his example. Now, in order to be able to say "it is written," we first have to know what is written. And we need to fill our minds with it. Now, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will bring Scripture back to your mind at just the right time, but you have to hide it in your heart first so he can draw it out and bring it to your memory. That's why David writes in Psalm 119:11, "I've hidden your word in my heart." Why? "So that I might not sin against you." Now, that verse is what memorizing Scripture is all about. It's about hiding it in our hearts like hidden treasure, like a secret weapon to protect us from sinning. A second benefit of memorizing verses of the Bible is that it helps me make wise decisions. I could not count how many times over the decades that I've asked God for guidance or for direction about a particular, very specific thing, and boom, he'd bring a Scripture to memory back to my mind, showing me what to do. And I never would have known it if I hadn't memorized it years and years earlier. The Bible says this, your word is a lamp unto my feet. That means when I'm in the dark, it shows me where to walk, to guide my feet and a light for my path. I said this in a couple sessions ago, that the more you know what God says, the more you're going to know how God thinks. Because the will of God is found in the Word of God. And the more you fill your mind with the Word of God, the more you're going to know the will of God. If you want to have the mind of Christ, you got to know the Word of Christ. Now, there's a third benefit to memorizing Scripture, and it's this. This is a good one. It strengthens me when I'm under stress. And don't tell me you don't get stressed out, because you do. We all get stressed out. And the Bible says this, your promises to me, they are my only hope. They give me strength in all my troubles. How they refresh and revive me. If you will memorize Scripture, your stress level will decrease dramatically and your confidence level will increase dramatically. Number four, the fourth benefit to memorizing Scripture is it comforts me when I'm sad. When I get down, when I get discouraged, when I get depressed, or when I'm in despair, the Bible is literally full of comfort. One time in Scripture, Jeremiah 15, Jeremiah says, your words sustain me, Lord. They bring joy. They bring joy to my sorrowing heart and delight me. I can't tell you how many times I have been so down, and I've read Scripture. In fact, one year, many, many years ago, 1981, I was depressed for months. And I went through and I took the book of Psalms, and I read through Psalms over and over and over, and I just underlined every verse that gave me comfort. And then I could just go back and read the comfort verses over and over, and they brought me through that period of depression when the clouds finally lifted. It'll help you. Let me give you one more. A fifth benefit to memorizing Scripture is that it helps me witness to unbelievers. It helps me share with those who don't know Jesus Christ yet. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, always be prepared to give an answer to anybody who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But then he says, do it with gentleness and respect. Now, when somebody comes to you and says to you, you know, what does the Bible say about? Or how do you know that? Or what would you do in this situation? You know, I have a friend who wants to know. If you've got some scriptures memorized, it's going to make you far more effective in being able to help other people, because you can share your faith and you can share the truth of God that will be a word fitly spoken at the right time in the right way. Now, that's the benefits of memorizing Scripture. So how do you get started? Well, first, you got to know when. You say, when do I memorize Scripture? When's the best time to memorize God's Word? Well, you can obviously do it during your quiet time. During your read, you pray, you memorize, you meditate, you do all these things in your quiet time. Another good time to memorize Scripture, honestly, is while you're exercising or when you're waiting for an appointment. In your quiet time, you read a verse, you go, oh man, that's a good verse. I need to remember that one. And you take out a little card and you write down that verse. You just put it in your pocket. And then several times during the day, you pull it out and you read it over and you put it in your pocket. You read it over and you put it in your pocket. You can put it on your visor in your car. You can put it on your mirror in your bathroom. You can put it on your refrigerator or wherever you go most often. Just go to that verse over and over and over. You know, I know a guy who does this, and he puts it on his car visor, and every time he comes to a stoplight, he flips the visor down and works on that verse. That guy has memorized over 500 verses at stoplights. Now, I think that's pretty good use of time. In your spare moments, these are great time to memorize Bible verses. That gives him confidence, it gives him strength, it gives him stress resistance, and it gives him much more effectiveness in helping others. Now, let me give you some suggestions on how to do this. How do I memorize Scripture? Well, here's what you do. First, you pick a verse that speaks to you. Now, in your study guide, I've given you a list of 20 Scripture verses that every believer needs to know, needs to have memorized, needs to have in your heart. But for this demonstration, let me just go with our Scripture memory verse for this week in 40 days of the Word. It's Matthew 7:24. Now, This is Jesus' final words in his most famous sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. And he's just taught all these practical truths, and he comes to the end of his sermon and he says this in Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, all that he's just said in the Sermon on the Mount, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The second key to memorizing a verse is that you say what I call the address, where it's found in the Bible, the verse reference before and after the text. The hardest part to remember in any memory verse is where is it in the Bible? That's the address, Matthew 7:23, or Luke 14:10, or Isaiah 6:18, or whatever. So what you do is you say the reference at the beginning and at the end of every verse. You start and you say it aloud, and you say it aloud at the end. We'll practice this in just a minute. Third thing, read the verse aloud, and read it aloud many times. Now, this is how you remember. We remember orally. It's much easier to memorize things if you see them and you hear them at the same time than just trying to do it silently. So you go ahead, you say it aloud. And in fact, let's do this right now, okay? Let's practice. Don't be shy. I want everybody to say this. We're going to read our memory verse aloud together, and then we're going to start with the reference, and we'll say it at the beginning, at the end of the verse, okay? Let's say it together. Matthew, okay, everybody say it with me, Matthew 7:24. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Matthew 7:24. Now let's do it again. Matthew 7:24. Everybody say it. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Matthew 7:24. Now that's a fairly long verse. So I chose it intentionally because I want to show you how to memorize a long verse. With a long verse like this, you break the verse down into phrases, natural phrases. So let's read it aloud this way, Matthew 7:24. Okay, Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And where is that? It's in Matthew 7:24. Now, you just say that over and over. Now, the next thing you do is to pronounce it. Use the pronounce method to emphasize key words in each phrase. So let's read it again, but this time let's emphasize the words that I put there in bold, okay? Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And where's that verse found? Matthew 7:24. By the way, when you're working with kids, let's go back to that verse again. I want you to look at it. When you're working with kids, it's often to create sign language or little symbols. And so you say, therefore, you can do for, okay, everyone who hears, and you point your ear, these words of mine, and puts them into practice, and you make up a phrase for practice, is like a wise man, you point to your brain, who built his house on the rock. Matthew 7:24. So you can create emotions. By the way, another way to do this, if you're a singer, put it to music. We remember things to music far quicker than we do things that are not music. That's why you remember the words of songs, but you don't remember a lot of other stuff. So if you can turn it into a tune, do it all. I used to teach my kids all kinds of memory verses by making up tunes. Now, you do this over and over throughout the day. And a really helpful thing to do is actually write the verse out, as I said, on a flashcard and carry the cards with you and review. And you can display them in prominent places, wherever you want to. Like I said, your refrigerator, over your desk, by your computer, or like my friend in the car visor. Now, this is really important. Always memorize the verse word perfect. In other words, memorize it exactly the way it's written. Now, that's so important that you learn to memorize it. You want to hear the Word of God. You want to read the Word of God. You want to study the Word of God. You want to meditate on the Word of God. You want to memorize the Word of God. Now, in meditation, let me give you two more. They are the personalize it method and the pray it back method. Let's look at these. These are fun methods that anybody can do. You don't have to have any tools. I explain them in detail in the first chapter of Bible study methods. This can be done by first personalizing. You put your name in place of pronouns or nouns in Scripture. For example, John 3:16, you would read it this way if you're personalizing it. For God so loved, and you'd put your name in there. For God so loved Rick Warren that he gave his one and only son, that if Rick would believe in him, Rick would not perish but have eternal life. Or how about Philippians 1:6? He who began a good work in you, and you put your name in it. He who began a good work in Rick Warren will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. See, I'm just personalizing by putting my name in it. When you put your name in the text, it's a great way to strengthen your faith and to encourage yourself. Now, let me give you another way that I love to do just as much in personalizing Scripture. And sometimes what I like to do is I rewrite the verse in first person, only instead of putting my name in it, I rewrite it as though God were saying it directly to me. Let me give you this a couple examples again. Okay, that verse, Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you, Rick, will carry it on to completion. Well, I would change it to this. I who began a good work in you, Rick, I began that good work in you, and I will carry it on to completion. See, it's like God talking directly to me. See how personal, how intimate that becomes? How about Proverbs 3:5 and 6 of this verse? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Well, you can personalize it this way. Imagine God saying it directly to you. Trust in me, Rick, with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, Rick. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your paths. Now, you can't get much more personal than that. God's Spirit speaking God's word directly to you. Let me give you another example. The most famous psalm in the Bible is Psalm 23. It's read at every funeral. You know Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But listen what happens when I personalize it from the Lord directly to me. And I personalize it as if God is saying the 23rd Psalm directly to me. Listen to this. I am your shepherd, Rick, and you shall never be in want. I make you lie down in green pastures, and I lead you beside quiet waters. I'm the one who restores your soul, and I will guide you, Rick, in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. If you will do this meditation, many passages of Scripture will literally bring you to tears when you realize how much God cares about you. You see, the Word of God is His love letter to you. It is His gift to you. And He wants you to open it and experience it, the joy of getting to know Him through His Word. That's what the devotional method of Bible study is. What these six methods of meditation are all about. Not just knowing the content of the Word, but getting to know the creator of the Word, the author personally. Not just reading it, but having a relationship. Now, there's another method I want to just teach you real quickly. And this is the sixth method of meditation that we use in the devotional Bible study. The second method is actually a great method to practice along with personalizing it, and I call it the pray it method of meditation. And you do just what it says. You pray it. You put the passage you're studying into the first person singular from you, and you turn the passage of scripture into a prayer and pray it back to God. You know, sometimes people go, well, I don't know which to do first. Do I read the Bible and then do I pray? Or do I pray and then I read the Bible? And I say, do them both at the same time. You pray, read the Bible. As you read it aloud and say, this is my prayer back to you, Lord. And you know it's going to be answered because it's in scripture. So let's look at Psalm 23 in another way. Okay, this is the third way we've seen Psalm. First, we saw David personalizing it, the Lord is my shepherd. Then we saw God personalizing it, I am your shepherd. Okay, now, how would it be if you turned Psalm 23 into a prayer? Well, you'd pray it one phrase at a time, and you'd say it like this. Thank you, Lord, for being my shepherd. You stop and just think about that. Thank you that I lack nothing. Thank you for making me lie down in green pastures. Let me just stop there. Has God ever made you lie down? Sometimes we don't have enough sense to take a rest, to relax. Sometimes God forces you to lay down. Sometimes God puts you flat on your back to force you to look up. Sometimes he makes you lay down in green pastures because you're not taking care of yourself. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for leading me beside quiet waters. Thank you for restoring my soul. Thank you for guiding me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Well, let's take that other verse we looked at, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. How about if I make and I pray it back to God and I say it like this. Lord, I need your help. I need you to help me, Lord, to trust in you with all my heart. I need you to help me to stop leaning on my own understanding. I can't figure out where my next job's coming from. Please give me the faith to acknowledge you in all my ways so that you can direct my now. Isn't this exciting? I mean, this is. These six methods of meditation are going to open up a whole new world. And I've just taught you one of 12 methods of Bible. Now, obviously, not every method works with every verse in the Bible. And not every method of meditation works with every method. That's why you have to choose. On what you're studying. Some verses work best by being pronouncing it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. See, each time as I pronounce it, I get a different approach. Some are going to work best with the picturing it method. Those are the stories of the Bible where you put yourself and imagine what it'd be like to be in that situation. Some work best in the probing method. Is there a sin to confess, a promise to claim, an attitude to change? Some work best in paraphrasing. Some work best in personalizing, putting your name in it, or seeing God say it back to you. And all of them will work in praying it back to God. And which of these methods do you use? As I said, use the one that best fits what you're studying, or a combination of them. You can try them all. If you're studying the book of Proverbs, for example, it may be difficult to picture some of the scenes that he talks about in your mind. But you can emphasize the words, and you can certainly pray some of the teachings back to God. You just use your common sense and choose a method. Then write down your thoughts and your prayers. And always, always, always remember, find the application. What is that? So you become a doer of the word, not hearer only. I hope you're getting this because I mention it in every session. You look for the timeless truth in the verse. Remember, what did it mean to them then? What's the timeless truth? What does it mean to me now? The application bridge. And how do I look in the mirror of this passage? What am I seeing in light of the truth that was once hidden in darkness? How does passage apply to my life right now? What does God want me to do about it, to think about it? Believe about it. How do I need to change the way I feel or what I do? What is God asking me to do or stop doing or to start believing or stop believing? How does he want me to live from now on? Now, you need to remember four factors in writing out a good application. Now, you have missed everything else I've said. I don't want you to miss this. Nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. So when I read the Bible, I'm going to try to move it from what it was then to what I need to do now. And I find the timeless truth, and then I write down a one-sentence application on what I'm going to do based on what I've said. And you write it in the first person singular. Now, here's your application must be four things. First, your application, when you write a sentence, has to be personal. In other words, you can't write an application for somebody else. You don't say, the world needs to do this, or my husband needs to do this, or my kids need to do this, or our church needs to. You know, you write it in the first person singular. I need to do this. Second, your application should be practical. That means turn it into something you can do. Plan a definite course of action which you intend to take. Make your applications as specific as possible. These broad generalities, they aren't going to help you at all. You're going to feel helpless, produce little action. Personal, practical. Third, possible. It should be something that you know you can accomplish. Otherwise, you get discouraged. Let's say you read the verse that says, pray without ceasing. And you say, okay, my application is, I'm going to pray 5 hours a day. Not a chance. There's no way you're going to do that. You've just blown it the first thing. You know, if you said, I want to make sure that I'm a day without prayer, that's practical and that's possible. And then the fourth key is provable. That means to check up on yourself. Personal, practical, possible, provable. Something that can be measurable. Until you set a deadline, you set a goal and put a date to it, you can't check yourself on it. It's just a dream. It's just a wish. It's a goal. You have to set some kind of time limit on your application. Now, let me give you an example of this. Here in January, we started the Daniel Plan to help us all get in shape physically at Saddleback Church. And as of this taping, I've lost 36 pounds. I intend to lose 90 in the entire year. And so I thought I needed to get some verses to help me out in losing weight. And one of the verses I chose was Ecclesiastes 6:7, because I was reading through Ecclesiastes, and I found this verse in a quiet time. But that's a good one. Now here's what Ecclesiastes 6:7 says. All man's effort are for his mouth. Yet the appetite is never filled, never satisfied. That's a great verse. That's certainly true of me. All my efforts are for the mouth. Appetite is never satisfied. Let's say I read that verse and I think, how do I write a personal application on weight loss? Okay, well, first it needs to be personal. I say, I need to. I say I, not my wife, not my kids, not our church. I need to. Practical, I need to lose some weight. That's very practical. Possible, I need to lose 10 pounds a month. Is that possible? Yeah. When you figure that out, that's a quarter pound a day. Quarter pound a day, that's a big gulp I have to give up. Okay, one big gulp a day, that's the equivalent of the calories in a big quarter of a pound. So I need to lose 10 pounds a day, and then I need to lend pounds a month, 10 pounds by the end of this month, or in within 1 month. Now that's personal, practical, possible, approval. I just wrote out an application based on a scripture verse. You're going to enjoy doing this. And if you'll really get serious about it, it'll change your life. Now, discussion, I've given you a number of Bible verses in your workbook that you can use to practice the personalizing it method. Talking it to God in first person, or God talking to you in the first person. And then as a group, look for the timeless truth in the passage and talk about how it applies to your life specifically. And it could be one interpretation, but many applications. Then pray it back together as a group. In fact, as a matter of fact, here's what I want you to do. During your group prayer time, I want you to try praying some of these scripture verses, which are listed in your workbook, as blessings over each other. Pray them aloud to each other. You'll find some listed there in the study guide and some additional verses that you can use at home throughout your week and during your daily quiet time. Pray them as blessings over each other. I want you to have a great discussion together. I'll see you next time. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you that we personalize it, and when we pray it back to you, it changes us forever. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
All right. Thank you for your patience with that DVD, but it was well worth it. Lots of great information there for you and for me. Just reminding you as you're getting ready to go in your discussion time, those discussion questions start on 5-6, page 5-6. And I want to remind you also that you have your Living on Purpose section right after the discovery questions, and that is your assignment for this coming week. So just read through that. It tells you exactly what to do this coming week. So go ahead and enjoy your time together tonight.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.